Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wake up! Wake up!
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
You know, it's a week-to-week league. You guys have heard me talk about that quite a bit. And, you know, they just got to continue with it, right? Continue to grow, continue to get stronger. Same with our overall team, you know, offensively, special teams as well as our defense in this case. And, you know, every week presents a new challenge. And I thought the guys, you know, albeit we had that one mistake shortly after half there, I thought they rose to the occasion.
I mean, I feel like yesterday we were in, you know, the good position majority of the time, but there were sometimes we'd be in a position and they'd just, you know, they'd make plays. And that's what you see them, you know, doing all season. And, you know, instead of, I think the good thing about yesterday is we, you know, limit them on big plays.
We've had games where people have pressured. You know, Coach Martindale, that's what they do. They pressure a lot. Sometimes it's with a post safety. Sometimes it's with two safeties. Sometimes it's with no safeties. We had 16, what we call blitz zeros yesterday, executed against some of them and some we didn't. Their decision was to pressure. We anticipated there was going to be some pressure. We got to do a good job of dialing up the right ones and executing them when we have an opportunity to.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Okay, so here's my question.
They cheated, yes.
We could do that. We could. I have a stat of the day about blitzing teams. And I have a one answer instant trivia for you to guess the 930 guest.
Ooh, I want to do that one first.
You want to do that one first?
Yeah.
Brayden, can you fire up the old instant trivia music? See, I put the guests lineup on the board all the time, and it says
it's guest the guest.
I like this. I want to do this a lot more often.
So it says 7:30, Paul. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I shouldn't. You want to? You could
guess
Paul. Paul. And then
Paul Newman.
Paul Simon. Well, Paul Newman would be tough.
Is he dead?
He's dead.
Okay, I didn't know that.
But I'll try just about anything.
Paul Heyman.
Now that would be good.
You'd be excited.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman. No? Okay, we don't want to do that.
Would he come with the beast incarnate himself?
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? And we'll have him throw down Brayton. And then
all right.
8:30 is Marcel Louis-Jacques from ESPN.
Excellent.
Bills reporter. And then 9:30 is... Your first clue is... This will really narrow it down for you. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
He's a former Bill.
Does it...
Do you want to play 20 questions or do you want me to just give you clues?
Give me clues. How current? How recent?
His last season here was 2013.
Is it relevant to the Steelers?
It is.
Is it Arthur Motes?
It is.
All right.
You happy about Arthur? I emailed. He does radio work in Pittsburgh for the Entercom sports station there where Andrew Filipponi is, 93.7 The Fan. So I emailed and said, hey guys, we're looking for a guest on the Steelers. And the guy emails me back, says, I've got the perfect guest for you. It's Arthur Motes. And I thought,
perfect.
Jeremy's going to be so happy. And I emailed the guy back. I said, my co-host developed a phrase for him when he played here. Now Arthur Motes is coming on at 9:30.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, I knew you'd be excited about that.
That's not bad. All right.
Yeah. All right. So we'll do that more often.
Okay. So that's the first thing.
Paul. Let me see. Clues for Paul. All right. What else?
Well.
The Patriots. The Blitz stat.
Let's do the blitz stat first because the Patriots, we might need a minute.
All right, stat of the day. We spent a lot of time talking about, you just played the comment from Brian Daboll. He was asked yesterday about the blitzes and Josh and what you can learn from that.
16 cover zero blitzes.
Ooh, was it that? Okay.
16.
They are the number one blitzing team in the NFL.
Baltimore.
Yes.
Okay.
The next team the Bills will face is?
Pittsburgh.
They are the... 7th highest blitzing team in the NFL. Go by percentage of blitzes.
Okay,
Pittsburgh is 7th.
And then the Patriots?
6th.
Okay.
So they're going to face two of the top blitzing teams in the next two games, for what it's worth, coming off the game against Baltimore.
And you wonder if those two teams will see what the Baltimore Ravens were able to do and say, well, we've got to blitz more.
Right.
Yeah.
So Baltimore, I don't have the percentages on New England and Pittsburgh. Baltimore blitzes about 52% of the time. Nobody in the league blitzes as much as Baltimore does. I'll see if I can find the percentages on New England and Pittsburgh. My guess is it might be somewhere in the mid to upper 30s, but probably not approaching what Baltimore does. Gotcha. So the Bills will see more blitz. And I don't think this isn't a, Baltimore showed the league a blueprint. Other teams have blitzed the Bills. Pittsburgh and New England regularly are among the top blitzing teams in terms of percentage. So I would expect Josh Allen and the Bills will see more blitzes in the next two games. Look what New England did to Josh in week whatever it was, 4. I mean, they blitzed. They threw a lot of different looks at him, and it was really confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh will probably do the same thing, and they have a secondary that's good enough to handle the coverage if they're going to blitz.
When can we hate the Patriots now? Is it time?
Did we stop?
No, but it's going to really be aggressive today.
Come on, really? Is there anything the Patriots could do? I guess this is rhetorical.
I mean,
that could actually anger you?
Continue to cheat, yeah? I mean, that would bother me.
You'd be really surprised to find out these stories? I mean, it's the Patriots.
Yeah, I would. I'd be surprised to find out that, I mean, not that they're not bending the rules, because they're always probably doing that, but that they're doing exactly what they used to do.
But when you first heard the story or saw it on Twitter yesterday, weren't you... Uh-huh, of course they did.
Well, I was, and then John Breach tweeted out a story he writes for CBS Sports, that during Spygate in 2007, the Patriots, you know, files were created, organized by opponent and coach during games. Who's this guy Walsh? Is that Brian Walsh maybe was his name?
Don't know.
Some guy from the Patriots named Walsh.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Don't know.
His name isn't previously listed in this paragraph.
Okay.
He told NFL investigators the Patriots videographers were told to look like media members, to tape over their team logos, or turn their sweatshirts inside out, to wear credentials that said Patriots TV or Kraft Productions. The videographers were also provided with excuses for what to tell NFL security if asked what they were doing.
Matt Walsh, former Patriots videographer.
Thank you. Okay. What were they told to tell NFL security? Tell them you're filming the quarterbacks or the kickers or footage for a team show. Yeah, just say you're filming footage for a team show. And while we're at it, just real quick, the Patriots have already issued a statement acknowledging wrongdoing.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick has said, hey, you know who these guys are. He never sees these people.
They operate independent of the football operations.
So just to be clear. So you know the whole story. I don't know why everybody's worried about this. They're not cheating.
They're not.
All they were doing was filming a team feature named after the coach's catchphrase. And the guys that were doing it don't know NFL rules.
Right.
And the coach doesn't know them. And the coach definitely never, ever gets help from them.
Right.
But they definitely need to film a feature about these individuals and how important they are to the... Even though they never...
Well, see, okay, Mr. Sarcastic guy.
Come on. What's
Mr.
everybody?
Cynical.
What are you digging up for here? Just because it's precisely the same excuse they used 10 years ago, and they're just trying to show people doing their job.
Right.
It's really important to highlight these individuals that the coach... I'm sorry, the coach has never heard of. Right? You've really got to... Yeah. No, yeah. Okay.
What you don't understand... See, here's what's happening. Now, let me explain it to you, Mr. Cynical. So, the premise...
Cynical, this checks out. I believe it all.
I feel like you're not being truthful to
team
me.
Team feature, yeah.
So the premise of this was a feature on the advanced scouts who will go out and look at an opponent that the Patriots are going to play. And everybody does this. Everybody in the league sends somebody to the, you know, typically to the, you know, to see the team that you're going to play the following week to, you know, jot some notes.
And everybody's got camera phones.
Right.
So it's the same thing. It's just filming everybody on the field.
So let me ask you this. You are the producer of this feature, okay? And your job is to do a feature about the advanced scouts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in this particular case, the advanced scout for New England or scouts are watching the Bengals.
Yep,
Bengals and the Browns.
Yep. And now, presumably, I work for the New England Patriots.
You work for an independent crew contracted to do the show for the New England Patriots.
Contracted by?
The New England Patriots.
All right, so I work for the New England Patriots.
No. You work for an independent crew.
I feel like I signed up to work for the New England Patriots.
Contracted out by the New England Patriots. Who's on first? I don't know. He's on third.
Real quickly.
Yeah.
Has it ever happened that an organization, a business, a person has contracted someone else to do a job so they could distance themselves from it?
So there's plausible deniability?
No, like
of course not.
Ripped right from the headlines these days.
No, that never.
Okay. So they definitely
cynical.
Didn't hire a mercenary.
So if you were filming advanced scouts, right? to back up the video you'd want to use for your story would be, okay, what is the job of the advanced scout on when he's watching the Bengals? Well, part of it is maybe to watch the sideline to see what's going on, substitution patterns, anything happening, trying to figure out some things you could use to help your team. So, of course, you would film the Bengals sideline to get video to support, hey, what does an advanced scout do when you're watching the other
team? Right,
you
got to know. You got to know.
So you have to show that, of course.
Yes.
Because that's what an advanced scout is looking for. Mm-hmm. That and, you know, what substitutions they make and what they use, who's in nickel, who's in dime, whatever.
And
yeah,
I'm
you're so cynical.
I'm sure that they decided, you know what? Our advanced scout isn't getting enough love. Let's start filming him on the sidelines this week. That's it. Just be this week.
Yeah. In all seriousness, here's the one question I would have. First off, you know, and the Patriots, you said, they acknowledge and all this stuff. Look, they long ago lost the benefit of the doubt. I'm trying to think of a football analogy, and the first one that came to my mind is if Vontaze Burfict is involved in a cheap shot and says, it wasn't a cheap shot. Vontaze Burfict long ago lost the benefit of the doubt, which is why he was suspended for the rest of the season, because we know what you're all about. The Patriots long ago lost the benefit of the doubt. But here's my question. I would like to know if there's any way to find out if this is a one-time deal or if they were doing this with other opponents. I don't know if you can find out. Maybe you can. Because it is, you'd wonder if they were going to do something like this, the Bengals? Like you would be filming Kansas City before you play them, the Bills, the Ravens. You'd be filming teams you actually think might have a shot to beat you, not the Bengals.
Why are you assuming they're not doing that?
That's what I'm saying. I need to know, is there any way to find out? Like if this was it's just this week, we're doing a documentary on advanced scouts and they were filming at the Bengals game, or if there's any way to find out, Patriots videographer, well, you could find out. They would have had to have been credentialed.
Well,
they're not getting into other stadiums without a credential.
Unless they're credentialed by an independent contractor, some other company.
There's got to be a paper trail somewhere to find out if they were at other games or if this was a one-shot deal.
And if there is, will the league destroy it again like they did the last time?
Well, the league would not want that to come out because that would be pretty damning if they've been doing this on a regular basis.
Yep.
You know, that they can try the whole, they're independent of us. You know, we don't know. But if you have evidence of them doing this at other games, then sure, now the Patriots are caught red-handed and you know, the league would not want that coming out. But my thanks to New England.
Yeah, good work. Now we get to call you cheaters again.
That's so fun.
That is fun. Oh, cool. You're cheating. Great.
I got to tell you, I suppose I should be angry, but I'm not surprised by any stories that come out about New England after everything we've gone through over the years.
Who could be surprised? Right, of
course. There's nothing they could do. They did what?
That they circumvent the cap for Tom Brady, that they've done that for decades. Maybe not decades, but a long time.
Yeah.
So they've circumvented the cap by buying, a stake in his company to just funnel him money?
Which is why he takes team-friendly deals. Boy, he's such a team player. He takes below-market value contracts.
Yeah. Big Poppy tweets in, not David Ortiz, presumably, but Big Poppy. The excuse sounds like something out of The Godfather. Of course Don Corleone didn't know it was happening. That's exactly it. What? Of course I didn't know. How could I have known?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good. It's funny. I don't know. Maybe I'm supposed to be angry at them. Honestly, I hear this stuff and I go,
no.
I give them credit for creatively finding ways to cheat.
If you're supposed to be upset with anything, it's that nobody is all that worried about cheating. The punishment's never going to match the crime.
Like
the Patriots could win 6 Super Bowls and they get fined a first-round pick and you think, okay.
Whatever.
Who cares?
It's okay. You don't have the 29th overall pick in the draft.
Even in college football or college basketball, when you vacate a title, you've vacated that championship. Not really.
You can't vacate it from your brain.
Yeah, exactly.
It's always going to be
still
there.
Still won it. Still had a good time.
You know, it's funny. Like, in terms of cheating, like what the Astros did to me, that
was
pretty bad. more angry about that than yesterday's story.
Yeah.
Like, what the Astros did to me is really
and what did they
unacceptable.
Do before that? Won a World Series.
Right.
Whatever.
Right. So. Well, they're not going to vacate the. I don't think MLB's. We're going to vacate the Astros World Series. Take down your banner.
Nope. And if they did, Houston could just put up a different banner that, you know, says what?
With a little asterisk. They'll put up a World Series champs asterisk.
2018.
In parentheses, not officially recognized by Major League Baseball.
The league's number one playoff team in 2017.
the team that won, the only team that won the last game in the playoffs that year. That's a lot to put on a banner. Yep. It's going to have to be
a really
big
banner.
Didn't end
the season with a loss. Yeah, there you go.
Big banner.
Well, all right, cool.
Look.
Hope the Bills beat them next week.
They're done. Brady's done. He's not going to be back, and it's going to be all over.
And they're desperate because they're cheating to beat the Bengals.
Look. They were talking about this. Nance and Romo were talking about this the other day when they were losing to Kansas City. Their offense is so bad. Like, they're yanking out trick plays left and right because they can't do anything offensively. They got to do everything they can to try and generate some offense. They're done. I mean, I didn't read it, but there was a story, actually, it was from last week, and I saw it mentioned yesterday. Tom Curran from NBC Sports in Boston had a long piece up at their website about how if there's no radical course change in the next 90 days, Brady's a goner. Like, they've had multiple opportunities. He wants a contract extension. They've had multiple opportunities to do it. They have not done it. And unless there's a big change in the next 3 months, he'll be gone. So a lot of signs are pointing to him leaving New England. And even if he doesn't leave New England, barring them trading for Odell Beckham Jr. or signing Amari Cooper, they've got a lot of problems on their offense.
Yeah, they do.
So I believe we are seeing the beginning of the end here for New England. So don't worry about it. They're cheating because they're desperate and they know their window's about to shut.
I think they're cheating because that's always what they do. Always.
Well, yeah. Well, this would be, what, third, fourth? I forget how many accusations they've had.
Yeah.
Beyond Spygate.
Dennis tweets in, they coincidentally decided to do the feature on advanced scouts the week they played a rookie coaching staff. Coincidentally, they haven't had the chance to gather intel on the staff prior to this year.
Maybe. Yeah, Zach Taylor, maybe, yeah.
Maybe?
I don't know. It just seems odd that they would be worried about, you know, Cincinnati.
They're really, is Andy Dalton still playing? Yeah, he went back in for them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he did.
Uh-huh. Okay. Not like they don't know Andy Dalton.
No, and I, as I said, I mean, I just, you know, you just show up, you should be able to beat Cincinnati. You know, I'd be more concerned about, I'd be videoing the Bills because you're going to have a game from them in 2 weeks.
How about when the Bills played the Patriots here? You saw that video, right? Sean McDermott had to kick out a couple Patriots staffers.
Oh, on the field, yeah, before the game.
From the sideline.
Weren't they, like, taking notes?
Yep.
Wasn't one of them Belichick's son?
Yep.
I think Steve,
and another staff.
On the staff.
They're on the field watching Bills warm-ups, and McDermott had to escort them off the field.
Forgot about that.
No, hey, I mean, sure, just
it's so
they're
cute,
just
these
making,
Patriots.
Just making sure that everyone's wearing the right color uniform. That's all.
They're just doing their job, man.
Yeah, right. Do your job. Cheat. Steal.
Lie.
Go get reconnaissance.
Yeah. That's what makes them so lovable.
I hate them so much. So much.
I'm telling you. Don't worry. It's over. These guys, they're not going to the Super Bowl this year.
They better not. It would, honestly, and if they go to the Super
not
Bowl,
going
it
to
would
the
be
Super
so
Bowl.
Annoying. But at least the 49ers, if the 49ers make it, whoever makes it, somebody from the NFC would smack them down.
You'd think.
Bad.
Yeah.
The NFC is stronger than the AFC. I think we're all pretty confident in that, right?
Yeah.
In the AFC, you've got Baltimore and...
Nobody else. They're in their own tier.
A little bit. And in the NFC, you probably have three
San Francisco,
to four.
New Orleans.
Seattle.
Maybe Green Bay's in the next
tier.
You've
got at least three teams that I think are much better.
Yeah.
I'd like to see San Francisco smack down New England like 52-0 in the Super Bowl. That'd be the only redeeming Super Bowl scenario that involves the Patriots.
They're not.
Is if they lose to Kyle Shanahan, who lost to them in the 28-3 one with Atlanta.
Nice to see Jimmy G beat the Patriots in a Super Bowl. That'd be kind of funny. The guy that was there, Brady's backup, the heir, beats them in the Super Bowl. That'd be hilarious.
Be amazing. Be perfect.
They're not going to make it. I'm telling you, whether it's Baltimore, Kansas City, I was reading up on the Steelers yesterday. They've won 7 of 8. Their defense is playing really well. And whoever it was that I was reading said, hey, you know, maybe Pittsburgh, goes on the road in the wild card round if New England doesn't get a 2 seed or 1 seed. They beat New England in a 6-3 matchup. New England's offense is that bad that I'm telling you, there's no way this Patriots team is going to make it to the Super Bowl.
JJ writes in, you mentioned this before the show, who knows if it's an actual mistake or not, but when Kansas City's equipment accidentally went to New Jersey,
forgot about that.
My mind went to typical Patriots. Yeah, of course. I mean, that's
good. If you're that good that you can get the other team's equipment shipped to another stadium site, I'm going to tip my hat to you, sir.
Oh, geez, you guys don't have your pads? Too bad. We have to play anyway.
But they did get an escort from Massachusetts State Police, so their equipment arrived at Foxborough in time. So you don't worry about them. I'm telling you, they're dead. They're dead and buried.
I hope you're right.
Who
do they play
right.
This week? They play Cincinnati.
I mean, just, you know what? Root for Baltimore to get the 1 seed. Baltimore plays the Jets on Thursday, then at Cleveland and home for Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Root for Baltimore to get the 1. And you know what? If KC could pass New England, that'd be nice too.
So Baltimore has a 1-game lead
and
the
tiebreaker.
Okay, so they've got to win 1 game?
Yeah.
Right? Because there's
three games left. Yeah. So they'd be two up with two to play.
Good.
And they can't lose the tiebreaker.
Right.
So beat the Jets Thursday. Now, I mean, Lamar Jackson apparently has got a quad injury. So who knows so if he's playing Thursday.
They've just got to win two games then, two of their final three to guarantee they're going to get it.
Yeah. And then New England has to go on the road. If they make it to the AFC title game, they got to go to Baltimore.
Yeah.
They're not beating Baltimore in the playoffs.
No, I don't think they're beating Baltimore in the playoffs. But the Patriots have, for 15 years, had the advantage of being at home a lot in the playoffs, where they can probably cheat a lot more, right?
You know what would be nice? I'm trying to think. If the Bills could beat New England.
Kansas City could get a first-round
That's what I'm trying to see. If you could possibly flip the Chiefs into that two.
Yep.
And have New England play in the wild card round against either the Bills or Pittsburgh or Tennessee, whoever's in the sixth.
How about beating the Patriots to knock them out of a top two to then go to New England
for the
playoffs? So that'd be nice.
They're probably going to beat Cincinnati and Miami. Unless maybe Flores comes up. So that would give them...
You want to know? Yeah.
That would give them 12-3. If you could get them to 12-4, Kansas City, if they run the table, they have the tiebreaker over New England. So let's root for that to happen, too.
One way for this Bills team to get more hype and more attention going into next year is to beat the Patriots twice in 3 weeks, basically, right? You'd beat him in week 16,
right.
Then you'd beat him in the wild card round of the playoffs. If you're Sean McDermott and you get two wins in 3 weeks over New England, both of them there, one of them in the postseason, start sketching the statue.
Well, like, yeah, oh my goodness, you know, yeah, like, right. Yeah.
That's one way to get things to the next level.
Yeah, and it would further the discussion of, oh my goodness, the Patriots are dead.
For sure.
You can't lose
two out of three to the, right. Two in a row to the Bills.
Right, and lose a home field playoff game. Which is a rarity for New England. I think the Jets did it, and maybe Baltimore. I'd have to look it up. I'm curious how many home playoff games Brady has lost. I know they lost to the Jets 1 year in the divisional round. I feel like Baltimore went up there and smacked them around pretty good 1 year, maybe in a wild card round. Let's see. Oh, good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We're up and running. 803-0550
to join us. Be on the lookout. The Patriots might be filming you this morning. Just be aware.
Oh, now, come on. Anyway, don't worry about it. They're dead. There is snow on the way. Let me give you a quick heads up before we go to break. Winter weather advisory for everybody, okay? For Northern Erie and Genesee, it's going to start at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning and run to 7 o'clock tomorrow night, 3 to 5 inches. Southern Erie and Wyoming, 2 a.m. to 10 p.m. tomorrow, 3 to 5 inches. For those of you in Chautauqua and Cattaraugus, 5 p.m. today to 1 a.m. Thursday, 4 to 7 inches of snow. So we're all getting snow. Winds gusting as high as 40 miles an hour. We're going to be dealing with some blowing snow as well. If you want more information on what's coming, you can always check out our sister station, News Radio 930 WBEN.
So some quick research on your point with the playoff losses at home. The Patriots have lost to the Ravens twice at home, and then to the New York Jets. 2009, they lost to the Ravens. 2010, they lost to the Jets, and then 2012, they lost to the Ravens.
They almost lost to the Ravens two other times. One was a Lee Evans drop, game,
yeah. Yep.
And the other was maybe that same game. The Ravens were steamrolling them 1 year. McGahee's on that Ravens team. That might be the same game. And then, of course, the Patriots come back. That's when they flip the cheating switch or something. Who knows?
I believe that was 2011.
Okay. Because they play the Patriots.
They play the Ravens a lot in the playoffs.
Yeah, they're up at least 14 in the third quarter of a game, maybe 14 or 17 points, and they somehow blow it.
Maybe because the notes they had from cheating hadn't been processed yet and brought to the sideline for the coaches to take advantage of it.
That was Lee Evans was on that 2011 Ravens team, and let's see, who would have missed that kick? Billy Cundiff.
Billy Cundiff, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. You remembered Billy Cundiff missing the kick.
I mean, when you watch New England somehow win every single game that they don't deserve, you remember it.
But that was the same game as Lee Evans dropping a touchdown pass?
I think so.
Right? He dropped a touchdown pass.
Baltimore had him
right?
beat three times.
Yeah.
It was a tough catch for Lee. Tough. I mean, it wasn't an easy catch.
Hey, when we get back, Sean McDermott yesterday addressed two things we were talking about on the show that weren't brought up in the postgame show on Sunday or in the postgame press conference. Going for two and not challenging the non-pass interference call against Baltimore with Robert Foster. So we'll get to those when we get back. Phone lines are always open, 803-0550 to join us or 888-550-2550 this morning here on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Well, no. That's, again, from a football standpoint, we absolutely know what the rules are, and we are 100% in compliance, to the best of my knowledge, of every single rule that we're responsible for. And what another part of the organization does or doesn't do as part of their TV shows or stuff like that, I mean, I have no idea what that is. From what I understand, that we've given them everything that whatever they were doing there for the TV show, whatever it was, that they've given them everything. Again, I have no idea what really this is about or what any specifics on it. All I know is what I've been told, and yeah, I'm sure that they gave them everything that they want.
You see?
Yeah, right.
You're so cynical.
Yeah.
That's Bill Belichick on WEEI Radio in Boston, I believe. I mean, it's Belichick. I'm just, yeah, that's where he was. See? He has no idea.
No idea. None.
You know, the cynicism in this world is just, drag it. They would never cheat. They're totally up and up. Philadelphia beat the Giants in Monday Night Football last night, 23-17. In overtime, had to be fun at halftime in Philly when they're losing 17-3 to a two-win Giants team. But they came back. They won. They're 6-7. They're tied for first place in the NFC East with Dallas.
I look forward to a player making a mistake in a game, dropping an important pass, and then we can all just point out. Well, I mean, technically, that doesn't reflect on the Patriots. That guy's an independent contractor. Ain't right? He is. He just works for them for now.
No, that guy is an employee of the team.
Under contract?
Yes.
As an independent contractor? How is a football player any different from a videography crew that's hired as an independent contractor?
Yeah, I suppose you're right, because the videographers would be getting their payments from the New England Patriots. So, yeah, I suppose you're just
cynical. I'm sure it's fine.
It's clearly...
I'm sure it's fine.
Right! It's clearly just a big story about nothing. Seattle running back...
It's a nothing burger. You hear that a lot these days.
A nothing burger?
Yeah, it's a nothing burger.
Is that with cheese or onions and bacon and stuff?
I'm not sure. I think it just means that...
Nothing burger.
Usually you say that to try and deflect...
Is it like a turd burger?
Pay no attention to the...
The man behind the curtain?
All is well.
Mm-hmm. Remain calm. Seattle running back Rashad Penny is out for the season, torn ACL. The NFL is investigating a story where a Patriots video crew allegedly was filming the Bengals sideline during the Bengals-Browns game, but... Relax, it was for a documentary, and Belichick knew nothing about it. So what else is going on? Sabres play tonight.
All we need is the Tom Brady.
Oh, the chuckle? You know,
Man, now I've heard everything.
I think if you listen carefully back to the comment we just heard from Bill Belichick, his genuineness shined through in his explanation of this story. The Sabres are playing the Blues tonight. It's an NBCSN telecast, so if you want to hear the Sabres call, right here, WGR. It is also a 7:30 face-off if you're going to the game, so keep that in mind. Jack Eichel, NHL third star of the week. Excuse me, 7 points in four games last week. Boston lost to Ottawa. Tampa lost to the Islanders. Your Heisman finalists. Two guys from Ohio State, Justin Fields and Chase Young. Joe Burrow of LSU and Jalen Hurts from Oklahoma.
Not allowed to tell you who I voted for.
Is that a rule?
Yeah, you're not supposed to say.
I thought you can.
I don't think so.
What if I pay you?
I can tell you that of the four names you mentioned,
one of them is
they all sound quite familiar.
Can I play a guessing game and eliminate the other three? Steven Strasburg re-signs with Washington.
I mean, you vote for three, so first, second, and third place.
Yeah, but I only care about who you voted for first.
Oh, okay.
Steven Strasburg re-signs with Washington, an MLB record $245 million. It won't last long. Garrett Cole's going to get more than that. Headlines brought to you by AccountTemps. Finding highly skilled accounting and finance professionals can be a challenge. AccountTemps can help. With AccountTemps' extensive network of accounting and finance contractors, you can be sure to find the right person for your exact hiring needs. Visit AccountTemps.com to learn more. AccountTemps, a Robert Half company. Did you vote for an Ohio State
Listen,
player?
No matter how far you burrow into this issue, you're not going to get it out of me.
This is like our Tuesday trivia. When
you can chase this all you want.
Oh, now you know.
And it hurts to know the truth. Oh.
It's an open field for the balloting? No, nope, you didn't say that one.
Didn't say that one.
So you voted for Justin Fields. There's no way you would vote for anybody from Ohio State. You would hold a grudge just because it's Ohio State. So I'm eliminating those two guys. You voted for either Joe Burrow or Jalen Hurts.
How come, by the way, Jill just tweeted in, how come Belichick didn't just drop, we're on to Cincinnati?
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Jill tweets in, then we're on to Cincinnati. We're on to Cincinnati.
But now he didn't have a press conference. This sound is from a radio interview he did. I'm assuming it's a weekly radio show.
Yeah.
When he meets with the media, whenever his schedule is, you know they're going to ask him about it. Then he breaks out, we're on to Cincinnati. There's no question he's going to break that out.
Right.
Either that or, you know what they do? They set up a screen in the press room, and when they ask about it, they play the old video clip of Belichick saying, we're on to Cincinnati.
It's a beautiful thing.
Sean tweeted in and sent me a link to a story. He tweeted in, Howard is right. It's all starting to fall apart. It's over. And apparently there's some story here about Patriots fans fighting each other in the stands after their loss to the Chiefs. Hey, remember, their fans booed them off the field at halftime. It's all falling apart in New England. They're dead. D-E-D. Dead.
You're saying that a lot more definitively than I am. Mainly because I just think that they always find a way to ruin January.
It's funny. Somebody pointed this out, and I forgot to check. Did they lose back-to-back games last December?
Probably.
And still end up winning the Super Bowl? I should look at their schedule because someone said, I don't know who it was. Oh, you know what? Was it maybe Ian O'Connor? I think Ian O'Connor has a piece up at ESPN.com. Like, basically, in the loss to Kansas City, there's a silver lining to New England. And I believe the point was, in part, hey, they lost a couple games in December last year, and they still went on to win the Super Bowl. It's not happening this year.
Yeah, they lost to the Dolphins in Week 14 and the Steelers in Week 15.
Yeah.
The Dolphins game was the home run throwback to Kenyon Drake or whatever.
Oh, yeah, the crazy play at the end of the game.
Yes. I just saw that highlight yesterday.
That's funny.
Where they put Gronk out as a defensive back?
Because it happened yesterday 1 year ago.
Oh, it was 1 year ago.
Okay. Yeah, that's why. Okay.
Yeah, that was that's New England. Apparently they must not have had video cameras on the Miami sideline the week before they were playing the Dolphins, or else they would have been able to know that. Okay, yeah, Patriots fans fighting each other. Okay, all right. Anyway, if you're just joining us, we opened up talking about the latest allegations with the New England Patriots. You got a comment, an opinion. Honestly, I chuckled when I first read it yesterday. You can share your thoughts on that. But we'll get into Bill's stuff. Hey, Brayton, do you have it? Either of those ready? Let me know, because I wanted to bring up both of those since we talked about those on the show yesterday. 803-0550 to join us. Big picture now. You step back. Yesterday was about the game itself. You can share your thoughts this morning on the Bills, the big picture, how you're feeling about them coming out of the Baltimore game, knowing full well that they just need to win one game in the last three and they clinch a playoff spot. And I should always mention this, even though I don't expect it's going to happen, the division is also still in play. It's still possible to catch and pass New England. So that's on the table. If there's anything else you want to get to, you can join us as well at 803-0550 or 888-550-2550.
We got these sound bites ready?
Working on it.
Working on it. Okay. Well.
You got them? Which one do you want to do first, Brayton? You tell me what you got ready. Okay. So I just wanted to bring these up today because they both came up on the show yesterday. And I don't think either was brought up Sunday during Sean McDermott's postgame press conference. But people were calling yesterday about the non-PI, the non-challenge, I should say, of the non-PI call. And when the Bills decided to go for two when they were down 24-9 and scored to get 24-15. So here's Sean McDermott from yesterday. And he was asked the play with Robert Foster, the non-PI, and it was in third quarter. Why didn't the Bills challenge that play?
I was talking to the booth on that. You know, it could have gone either way. We just felt like it wasn't enough, so we decided not to challenge at that point.
Makes sense. I think it was pass interference, but if I told you it was that clear, I'd be lying. I think it's entirely possible the league would have just let it fly, and they would not have overturned that. So I'm not surprised by that response. I absolutely understand where they're coming from. It was not an egregious miss. So that's that. The other question or strategy question that came up on the show yesterday, Jeremy, you tweeted about it during the game, was when they went for two, they scored to make it 24-15. If you were watching the telecast, this is where
go for two.
Dan Fouts and who would it was it not I was it Ian Eagle?
Yeah.
Okay. We're talking about get it to a one possession game. Don't go for two. Go for the extra point. So McDermott was asked why go for two. Did analytics figure in that decision?
We spent a lot of time in the offseason and then each week preparing for that going into the game. And then it's also the style of game, how we want to play it, right? In that situation, we felt like, to your point, the analytics supported that. We wanted to be aggressive. We felt like going for two at that point versus maybe the last play of the game to tie it up. Just that we felt like we knew the look we were going to get on defense. And obviously we got the look and we converted, so it was good for us.
So that should go where you wanted them to be, well, basically. Like, we've done our research. We know at that point the analytics supported the decision to get the two.
Yeah, one thing I'm eager to find out when we talk to the coach on Friday is how that decision comes to pass. You know, how do you get there? And I want to ask, you know, he's got a lot on his plate. So do they have someone that on the drive where they're trying to get in for the touchdown – somewhere in there, as it said, by the way, if we get in, this is a go for two.
Yeah, they would have had to have that discussion
sure,
on the drive.
Right. Does Brian Daboll already know that? I mean, it's entirely possible that Brian Daboll just knows that and McDermott just knows that because they've talked about it through the week, or they know that scenario and have known that scenario for months. Mm-hmm. But this is the first time it actually presents itself. So I wonder who tells them, who decides, and if it is, as the drive goes along, does Brian Daboll start to think about it three plays before the touchdown? Like, all right, if I get in, I think based on what they're given, they're talking about we felt
look.
We knew what look we would get.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, that to me speaks of an offensive coordinator that we're going, I'm seeing what they're doing. If I line up in this, I bet they give me that. That's our 2-point play.
And it worked. As they said, they got whatever look they thought they were going to get. Beasley had the 2-point play. Yeah. It was pretty easily
similar
executed.
Similar to the touchdown, too.
Yeah,
like,
same
they just kept
pattern
on,
type
yep,
thing.
Same spot.
Yeah.
Or same area, at least.
Yeah. Left side of the field to the end zone. Yeah, I thought, I honestly thought, look, you'd have to know that as the drive is going on, whether it's McDermott, you know, has to tell Daboll at some point, hey, just so you know, when we score, we're going for two, because Dable's got to start thinking about, okay, what play am I going to call? You got to let Heath Farwell know, right? Hey, just so you guys know, we're not kicking one, we're going for two. The offense has got to know, stay on the field so your game operation doesn't get screwed up and you don't take a delay of game. All that stuff. So it was nice. It was refreshing to hear that. Mm-hmm. And I think at the end of the day, it is somewhat simple. You got to get two at some point, either now or later. And, you know, like he said, you know, at least we know exactly what's happening. You're as opposed to waiting till the end of the game, you score. Maybe it is the end of the game. You score and you got to get two, and then boom, game over if you don't get it at that point.
Yeah, I was talking about this yesterday, and somebody brought up a very good comparison to me of, you know, how to explain this to someone that still struggles with it. Because the goal is not to stay close. The goal is to know what you're going to need. Oh, I know. It's the same as in overtime in college football. You defer.
Yeah.
You want the other team to go
first.
Yeah,
so you know what they've done from the 25. Right. Do I need a field goal? Do I need a touchdown?
Right. Yeah, in every scenario as a coach, you want to know, what do I have to get to win? What do I have to get to tie? And if you don't go for the two, you don't know if you're going to get the 2-point conversion until you go to the next one. And you know later in the game where you stand. So it's about finding out where you stand in the game as early as possible. The same as deferring in college football. You know what? I'd like you to go first because I want to know what I need.
Mm-hmm.
And if you score a field goal, if you score a touchdown, it's always beneficial to go second. The same is true of shootouts in hockey. Not necessarily shootouts, a little bit, but in penalty kicks in soccer, you go second. I got to know,
okay,
what do I need here?
Sure.
At least you might prefer that.
Yeah.
Unless you like the gamesmanship of putting the pressure on the person that's going second in those scenarios. But still, like, what do I need to get? And it was a smart play by them and something that I would anticipate seeing from here on out.
803-0550 to join us on this lovely Tuesday morning. Did you save the date? You know, we announced the date for our next celebrity roast. It is Thursday, February 27th. Put it in your phone. So we will see you at Buffalo River Works, new location for the next celebrity roast. And we're going to be roasting Eric Wood. We're excited about that. We'll have more details shortly. You know, we'll let you know when tickets go on sale and all that neat stuff. But for now, Thursday, February 27th. Make some plans, plan to be there, figure out who else is going, and it's at Buffalo River Works, so we'll let you know when tickets are on sale. The Celebrity Roast of Eric Wood is presented by Seneca Poker and Liberty Cab, supported by Pella Windows and Doors, Bud Light, Country Suite, Dr. Beyer Optical Group, and Vera's Dry Cleaning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Well, I think our entire offense can, really, and that starts with me, is, you know, making sure, going back to the question that was asked earlier, going back and saying, hey, how are we going to improve if faced with similar situations, if faced with similar challenges? And that's really what we're all about, is that's the growth mindset. How do you make the adjustments from 1 week to the next as you continue to grow and the goal of becoming a stronger football team?
And as Bill said, Coach Sean McDermott, believe that was when they were talking about blitzes and learning from the game against Baltimore, Josh Allen, the offense, since they're anticipating more blitzes coming their way in their matchups against Pittsburgh and New England. I think one storyline to watch, we touched on a little bit yesterday, is that, you know, as John Brown has turned into the number one receiver on this team, you know, the opponents are clearly focusing on stopping him first and foremost in the passing game. I was just looking at his numbers. The last three games, they are his three lowest yard totals of the season. He's had 39, 26, and 26, going back to Cortland Sutton with Denver, and then Baltimore this past week. And, oh my God, after Denver, they played
Miami?
No, it was
Dallas.
Miami.
Dallas.
So the last three games, his targets have gone down, way down. His catches have gone down. He's got 8 in the last three games, and his yardage is its lowest of the season in all three games. We'll see if John Brown can somehow get back involved in the offense. But if not, who else is coming up? This is the discussion of, hey, they're going to need to get another receiver in the offseason, like a big, big, big target in the offseason.
How many times have the Bills gone to John Brown late in a game?
Well, at least 2.
There's another one.
Okay, we got Baltimore.
Yep.
You got
Cleveland.
Cleveland. Was it? I'm trying to think. They did in New England.
The Jets. The Jets.
Oh, the touchdown. The opener. Yeah, he caught the touchdown in that game.
So that play in the final minute or whatever, however much time there was left, the final play on offense for the Bills, that's who you would expect them to go to. I bet that's who Baltimore kind of expected them to go to and said.
Yeah. And they put their best guy on him.
One-on-one. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's worked a little bit. It also, to me, I wonder about the future of Josh Allen, because it seems that in those spots, those reads are, listen, the ball's going here. This is our best chance.
Right.
Period.
Well, you talked about that right after the Cleveland game. Pre-snap, they liked the matchup they had with John Brown on the right side of the formation. I think singled up.
It didn't look like all that great of a high percentage play.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't get that first down. They lose that game to Cleveland. I'm not saying don't throw to John Brown. Just, you know, you'd like to have a diversification of options where your quarterback on the biggest play of the game isn't necessarily locked into, well, this is it. I got one-on-one.
Well, who else? Right. Who else? I think who else would you trust, I guess I would say? It's a short list. It's Brown or Beasley. You know, it isn't Knox because he's had some inconsistencies in terms of catching the ball. It's not Foster. It's not McKenzie. With the game on the line, there's really not a big secret to the Bills' passing offense. It's going to be either John Brown or Cole Beasley.
Yeah.
And I think teams have gotten wise to that, of course, and that's why they've been able to really limit John Brown very effectively in the last few games. You would do – this is our discussion of when the Bills face a team with a top receiver, we sit here and talk about, okay, well, Trey White, go to work. You're going to have this guy. Now other teams, I think, are doing that with John Brown. They're probably taking their best guy, and more often than not, I don't know if they were shadowing him with Marcus Peters. I didn't track it. But my guess is they're making sure their best guy is – on John Brown because he's the best part of their passing game. So we'll see how that plays out Sunday in Pittsburgh, who's got a really good secondary. We'll see if the Bills can reestablish Brown in this offense.
I have a tweet from a listener that is surprised the Bills are underdogs. Gary, surprised the Steelers are a 2-point favorite. Yes, the Steelers giving 2 points.
Oh, okay. Yesterday the line I saw from BetOnline, the Bills were a 1-point favorite.
No, I think the Steelers are 2-point favorites.
Are they? Okay. Home field.
Yeah, why would anybody be surprised? They've
won 7 of 8.
Yeah.
I mean, say what you want about
home in a primetime game.
Yeah. I mean, say what you want about, you know, Devlin Hodges and, you know, all the stuff that's been going on with their offense. They have won 7 of 8. They've got a very good defense and they're at home. And that's, I think, enough for at least 2 points if I were setting a betting line. I wouldn't touch the game with a 20-foot pole, although you'll make me pick it later in the
I think I'm more nervous about it than most.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm feeling good about
this
game. Yeah, I really do.
I'm nervous.
I'll tell you what. Asterisk, to ask me again after Arthur Motes is on the show.
Okay.
And he gives us the rundown on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Part of being nervous, to me, is also a side effect of how good of a win it would be. You know, Dallas, that was an NFC game that's different. Mm-hmm. This Baltimore game would have been a great win. So going in, it's kind of, all right, I don't know about this one. And the same is true of this Pittsburgh game.
Well, this would top the Dallas, and this would easily be the number one win on the season. It would beat out the Dallas game, I think. The Dallas game
probably was
about a short work week. More than anything else for me, it was, oh, man, you're going to go get on a plane on Wednesday and go to Dallas on national TV on Thanksgiving. If you beat Pittsburgh, like I said, they're what were they? I think they were 1-4, and now they're 7-1 since that. And if you look at their defense, you know, the players they have on that side of the ball, T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree, and you look at guys in the secondary like Minkah Fitzpatrick and Joe Hayden. Was it Devin Bush, the linebacker? I mean, they've got some really talented players on that side of the ball. So it can be a really difficult matchup for the Bills' offense. And if you want to throw in the whole primetime thing in Pittsburgh
They're
and all that
good
stuff.
Good in primetime.
I think this would be the best win of the season. I think this tops Dallas if you beat Pittsburgh on Sunday night. And, of course, you would clinch a playoff spot. So I'll let you know how I feel after Arthur Motes is on at 9:30. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550 here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.